This is Small Business Conversations with Akona Machoba, unlocking essential advice, opinions, and key issues that affect South Africa's small business community.
Welcome to yet another edition of the Small Business Conversations podcast. I am your host, Akona Machoba. Thank you for choosing this weekly SME show as your preferred platform to delve into the important issues affecting South Africa's small business environment. Now, the latest SME Confidence Index conducted by Small Business Financier Business Partners Limited shows that the country's SMEs, which are arguably the backbone of our economy, continue to have hope that their businesses will register growth over the next 12 months. This is despite the doom and gloom we may feel we face on a day-to-day basis. Instead, the survey found that although the small businesses are acutely aware of our economy's challenges, they remain optimistic. The Business Partners Limited survey notes that respondents reported confidence levels of 62% that South Africa's economy will be conducive enough for growth in the next 12 months. This is 7 percentage points higher than the previous quarter's measurement. So, what is the foundation of this optimism from SMEs? What are they seeing that maybe we are not? To guide us through the factors that play into the sentiment, I'm joined by David Morobe, the Executive General Manager for Impact Investing at Business Partners Limited. Thank you for joining me, David.
Thank you very much for having me, Akona.
So, David, let's start with that last bit over there. Why are SMEs still so hopeful, and what is driving the optimism that things will get better over the next year or so?
I think it's just probably more optimism that things will have an uptick in the fiscal 24 in the economy. I think we've reached the lowest ebb in terms of the challenges that we've faced as a country. We've been at a low growth trajectory, and maybe if that picks up, that's where the confidence comes from. And hopefully, I think the other element is that the impact of load shedding is such that it will reduce, in that some of them will get alternative means to sustain their businesses and thereby contribute to a upper growth rate of the economy than what would be the case if those things are not attended to.
And you mentioned the point of the low growth trajectory being over, and I'd like us to just delve a bit more into that point and just get a better understanding of the factors that indicate that the worst is over. You do mention load shedding, and there's been substantial progress being made, both private sector and regulatory reform that has been implemented over the past year or so to assist small businesses to kind of build their muscle when it comes to energy, backup energy generation, as well as the investment that businesses have already put into building their muscle over there. What other factors are indicating that we're out of the woods? Because in my own day-to-day reporting as a journalist, there's a lot of speak around interest rates possibly easing, maybe in the second half of the year, in the latter part of the year. Is that also factoring into sentiment, adding to the load shedding optimism?
No, 100%. The issue of high interest rates can only, you know, limit the potential for businesses to expand, because they are very hesitant to take on expansion capital under such circumstances. So once the interest rate environment begins to get a bit of reprieve in the second quarter, as indicated, I think opportunities for growth will be better. Opportunities for better sustainability will be more increased for our economy, and the trickle down will get to the small and medium enterprises. But overall, I think for us, what the latest survey has painted to us, is that they're gaining more confidence in the initiatives that are presented by public and private sectors, which show that there's an inclination and a move towards a more enabling environment. So I think once people get confidence that there is a commitment from policy makers towards making an environment that is slightly easier for local entrepreneurs, and some instilling something into the economy, notwithstanding the load shedding challenges that we've had, I think that confidence would stem from those kind of developments.
And then something that I found to be quite interesting in the release that Business Partners Limited put out not so long ago in regards to this topic was the highlight of the fact that businesses are seemingly improving their views of government and what government is doing. We saw sentiment significantly rising for government. I think it was around 59% where SMEs were positive on what government is doing to support the environment of SME development. And I would like you to just speak to us about that. I mean, typically government doesn't have the best PR. It doesn't seem to get a lot of support from a lot of people for various reasons. That's a conversation for another day. But SMEs have a different view. What is informing that view?
Yeah, it's quite, it took us by surprise ourselves, and hence we rely on those SME index because it's the way for us to gauge the buoyancy of the whole sector in terms of what is happening for the SMEs themselves. And also we can understand the social and economic issues that affect SMEs in South Africa. We think that, I mean, if you look at that 59%, it marks a 12 percent point increase from the previous quarter and about 4% year on year. I think that shows that maybe there are certain steps that they are seeing. There's a certain confidence that things will be calmer. Maybe there are steps from the finance minister that they see are perhaps encouraging in terms of maybe being more prudent, trying to tackle corruption. But there could be a variety of variables that have caused the uptick in confidence. And more certainly, if people see or SMEs see policy direction and policy certainty, that uptick in confidence seems to reflect in what they have given us back in this survey results.
And what does this tell us about, I don't want to get too thick into the political realm, but I guess it does factor into our conversation. What does this say about the leadership of President Cyril Ramaphosa in his time in office? And is this showing that there is confidence that what all the initiatives that he's been putting in place in the last couple of years is now bearing fruit and SMEs are positive about it? And then second to that question, we're going into election very soon this year. I don't think there's an official date yet, but we're going to have an election this year. And how does that factor into what SMEs may feel towards government moving forward, especially with there being no real certainty on what government will look like for the next couple of years? Will we have ANC-led government continuing their work, or will there be coalition governments? How does that factor into possibility for sentiment to change?
It's always a mixed bag in terms of assessing the present leader, in terms of what it is that they have done good and what where they were a bit lagging. But I think there were some steps in taking that they've taken to curb some of the corruption. And the more the steps are taken towards the corruption and making rooting it out of all elements of our society, that will sort of spur on confidence that, you know, perhaps this will be better in the future. We're getting there in small steps. People would like government to act far more at a hastier pace than has been the case thus far. But at least there are green shoots that some steps are taken to address that particular element. And I think there have been some agreements that have been signed insofar as getting the energy plan off the ground, maybe getting alternative energy going, albeit very slow. Maybe these are some of the things that are giving the confidence to our small and medium enterprises. In an election year, it's oftentimes a bit of a challenge because people are reticent to see which way the elections will go. I think all the pundits have indicated that the likelihood of coalition governments is increasing. So long as government functions in the interest of the people, probably that would work. But what we've seen so far in a local government sphere is that there has been more contestations from coalitions than has been positive outcomes coming from that. So the test of the pudding will be in what comes out there. And I think what we can encourage our citizenry is to say, go out there, let your vote count towards making sure that we have a country that we would like to live in. We have a country that we have would like our children to be able to thrive in and get opportunities to grow, even as they run small and medium enterprises.
And on the back of that response, I think I also want to touch on the point on the BRICS Summit of 2023. That was a big event last year for us as a country. And I'm sure small businesses are also quite pumped about the prospects that a successful BRICS Summit could have for intra-market trade. But with that perspective of what it could possibly bring for small businesses in terms of growth and access to different markets, do you think there's an understanding from SMEs that this is not a tomorrow project and something that's going to happen tomorrow, but instead a long-term process that might not be realized in the next 2 to 3 years?
It's probably a bit more long-term, but it's good that the SME community, for lack of a word, SME segment was mentioned to some extent to see how the intra-country trade relations can be improved, intra-country market laws can be improved, and that also leverage more within the vicinity of Africa, the inter-African nations, to work better so that the import-export environment can be a boon for our SME sector per se. So the fact that even at that high level, even though it's going to take a bit more time, there is a lens that look at what can we do to improve the plight of SMEs, how can they participate in intra-market trade, intra-country trade, and intra-Africa trade within themselves, is something that is worth celebrating, because on a broader scale, it means government wants to set the policy directions that can benefit and address the problems of today moving forward. We'll see what happens in terms of the election. One of the things also that I just forgot to mention is that one part of that could have given SMEs confidence is the establishment of the current Small Enterprise Financing Agency and consolidating all those services in one agency, not have one for business support, one for finance, and one for cooperatives, but to have it as a one-stop service that can provide finance, that can provide business advice, that can provide development services, business facilitation, and incubator support. I think that is something that shows that there is some policy considerations at making the SME ecosystem much better for our SMEs, and hence the uptick in confidence internally in the country and also what happens at BRICS level.
And I'm glad you mentioned the consolidation of the Small Business Enterprise Agency that you mentioned. I forget the full name right now, but I'm glad you mentioned it, because it is important when you think of how SMEs struggle with getting resources, getting information, getting assistance, because everything is so scattered. We've had that conversation multiple times on the podcast here alone, just discussing how much SMEs spend of their capital trying to make sure that their regulations are in order, that they're meeting what is required of them to function. So I think that definitely, I concede that that could definitely be a big contributor to that. Going back to the BRICS point, something that we already know that has been in the pipeline, but not necessarily sure how far it's gotten in terms of improving trade on the continent, is the African Free Trade Area Agreement that has been in the works for quite some time now. What are the timelines looking like for that? Do we need to get that sorted out before we get BRICS? Maybe focus on improving trade on the continent first, and before we venture into other markets?
I think what we saw when BRICS was happening here is that the interest in participating and joining the BRICS sort of agenda was quite strong, because a lot of people can see that you want to have an alternative model to how we've leveraged only out of Western institution in making our Africa development tick. So I think if we're going to fix that, and most of those countries that have already indicated their interest in joining the BRICS environment, so indicates that there's going to be more concurrent addressing of both intra-Africa trade as well as whatever else is on the agenda of BRICS, because charity eventually begins at home. And if we can't do trade more optimally within the SADC region, how do we do it best only? I think the whole development of our economies has always been structured in extracting whatever goods, raw materials that we have in our economy and exporting them to Western countries and or Eastern countries. So we need to make sure that the benefits accrue across the regions as well, because that makes for lesser influx into countries that are purportedly perceived to be doing better than those from which the influx of people are coming from.
Another thing that I found quite interesting is the conversation on funding. I found it to be quite intriguing that SMMEs, or the index found that SMMEs aren't as pressed about accessing funding now than they were before. We've had so many funding conversations on the podcast, whether it's for solar financing, whether it's for growth financing. We've had so many conversations around funding, and to find that it's no longer as big an issue for SMMEs as it was before is quite interesting. And what is mentioned is that top of the list now is regulation, which kind of ties back to our previous points that we've just touched on. How is the deregulation project going for SMMEs, and what types of regulatory interventions are SMMEs yearning for that government needs to pay closer attention to? We did mention consolidation just earlier, but maybe if you can just expand a bit more on that point and give clarity.
Yeah, it's quite interesting, because even when you have finance, if you cannot get the issues or the negative impact that's around the legal and regulatory environment on SMEs addressed, the entrepreneurs continue to struggle. And it is usually in terms of the extent of the requirements that are involved, as well as the high cost of compliance, especially for smaller businesses, where the relative burden tends to be a bit high for them per se. So I think the part of consolidating that service for government, one of the things that has been mooted has been an ombuds that will address the issues that are faced by small businesses and expedite the rate at which they address those issues. That will help our SMEs to incur less cost per se. So the issue of regulation, it's not surprising that it's now come to the fore, even above the finance going forward. What we're hoping is that when this new consolidated agency comes about, it can look at consolidation or consultations maybe with small and medium enterprise in terms of the design and implementations of policies that can address this issue of regulations per se, insofar as they affect SMEs. They should also look at improving the ease of, as well as reducing the cost of compliance that goes with regulatory requirements. What this new agency also provides is a hope that there will be better coordination and integration of the initiatives that are targeted at the SME sectors, and primary of which will be the issue of regulation.
And just as we draw our conversation to a close, I'd like to get your views just on a few things that we're looking forward to in the 2024 year. We've already touched on elections and how that could sway sentiment, but there are a few things that happened last year that we need to kind of look forward to that could have a major impact on SMEs. One of them being the arrival of Amazon's marketplace in South Africa. That is going to give a challenge to Takealot, which is already dominating in that space. How should we expect that to affect SMME sentiment? A new giant of a company coming in to give SMEs in that trading space, marketplace space, a new avenue to sell their product. This should possibly be a positive for SMEs. Am I reading that correctly?
Yeah, I think maybe the challenge for SMEs is to learn to survive with whatever competition comes about. Right now, in the age of connectivity, in the age of the internet, you could be competing with whatever product you sell with somebody from way outside of the country that is competing for your marketplace. We've seen in terms of pay TV or streaming channels that people have come from outside of the country and have come and competed for the marketplace that is here, that you have to improve your services to be able to contest against the big giants like the Amazons, as you indicated. So Takealot needs to make sure that they handle the logistics optimally for the local market. They need to make sure they are competitive in the pricing and make sure that that which has been promised for delivery is, there's no mess up in terms of making sure that the quality and the exact goods that have been ordered have been placed. Because we cannot stop the big players from internationally coming on board and competing for the same marketplace as we have. If you think about it, several years back, you would have an open, just a burger shop operating there when McDonald's, due to sanctions, was not even in this country, but they came in. And so if you have to sell that very product that is being sold by an international big company, you need to make sure that you are competitive, that you're world-class in delivering that particular service. So it's a good boon. I think it gives opportunity for SMEs. It brought opportunity for the consumer rates, and it can only be better. In a sense, it increases that axiom that we call perfect competition.
And then with regards to the regulation conversation that we've had, something that might be bad for small businesses that operate in the tourism base is the possible restrictions that government is looking to possibly implement on the operations of Airbnbs to kind of limit them to maybe operating in certain areas to protect the hotel market that exists or to protect the integrity of residents and suburban areas so that it's not what has been put forth as a risk of Airbnb being in suburban areas is like the safety factor because we're not keeping track of who's coming in and out. And I'm just wondering, this possible thing that might play out this year of Airbnbs being restricted on how they operate, how is that going to affect the tourism sector and businesses in that part of the economy? That sways it to the negative side, or how does government navigate it so that it still keeps the boom of the tourism sector going?
I think to maintain the boom, I think one of the top consideration is the safety and security of those that come to your country to visit whatsoever. And if there are risks that have been identified in some of how these Airbnbs are being operated, it's something that is worth attending to. I think our offering has more to do in terms of our scenic environment that we can offer, various scenic environments in different parts of the country. We've got still quite affordable packages that we can sell, not only internally, but also to the external world. But this intervention in terms of regulatory helps in a sense to also protect the local environment by making sure that that safety is retained. I haven't taken a deep dive into seeing who owns all those BNBs, Airbnbs. Are the local people participating and large on that, or is it people from abroad that own these things and do not ensure the security that is required? I think it's something that sometimes you want to see that as an active state that is far more concerned about the safety and security of the tourist base than just to make an industry run without any form of regulation whatsoever. The issue to attend to is that it should be affordable. There must be ease of controlling that, and the cost must be managed for the local participant in that particular industry.
Okay, so regulation, all that, not all bad. There could be good regulation that could help this the system run better and for the betterment of our economy. Last point here that I want to get your views on, David, just briefly. There's a lot of conflict happening in the world currently. You pick your pick, whichever one you want to start with. There's the Israel-Gaza, there's Red Sea conflict happening right now with a lot of attacks happening in that area. And then there's the ongoing Ukraine and Russia conflict continuing there. And I'm just wondering, looking forward to the 2024 year, obviously there's elections piling on that and some people might not be happy and we might stand a risk for further conflict happening. That's been flighted a lot in conversations in the media. And I'm just wondering, how does that factor into sentiment and how businesses are feeling about the geopolitical risks that stand in the way of economic progression?
I think it's obviously a huge concern for us. I think it's shown some kind of polarizing of our citizenry in terms of which side they prefer in a number of conflicts that are taking place. I think we want to have a place where there's a way of resolving conflict and reducing, you know, fatalities that happen as a result of this conflicts that are taking place. I think we have to laud what the South African government has done by participating on behalf of, you know, the downtrodden maybe of Palestine in this particular instance to say, let's move towards securing peace. But that must be applied across the board because, yes, as you pointed out, from a geopolitical front, there are a number of conflict-ridden areas, and we must be seen to be champions of bringing about peace and, in a sense, security for peoples across the world, because we have the pedigree that are set by our first democratic leader, Nelson Mandela, and I think we should strive to do that. The dividend that comes from that is that it shows that there's boldness to do what is right when so required, and also gives improved confidence from the citizenry, including the SME community, to say we have a caring government across the board per se. So I think the whole issue of the geopolitical situation has a lot of dimensions that one can look at, but I want to look at it from the positive element of saying, strive towards peace and resolving with and limiting the number of fatalities that are happening in these areas.
That right there is David Morobe of Business Partners Limited, taking us through how SMEs feel about their growth prospects over the next 12 months. What we know for certain is that our small businesses continue to be resilient no matter the trouble that they may face, and may they truly continue to show that resilience. They are a critical part of what keeps our economy running after all. Thanks once again for your time and for sharing your insights with me, David.
Thank you, Akona. Thank you very much for having me.
If you enjoyed this episode, please download the Small Business Conversations podcast on all digital platforms and don't forget to share our episodes. If you want to contribute to the conversation, you can X me at machoba_A or you can email us at smepodcast@manweb.co.za to share your thoughts and suggestions for future conversations. Until next time, goodbye and don't forget to support a small business near you.
You've been listening to Small Business Conversations with Akona Machoba. To listen to more MoneyWeb podcasts, go to moneyweb.co.za, the MoneyWeb app, or your favorite podcast platforms. MoneyWeb, your trusted source for business and investment insights.